Sometimes just one word can tell a story. For commentator Ray Salazar, one such word is brazier. It's a term he heard over and over in the urban streets where he spent his childhood.
For a kid growing up in Chicago's Little Village neighborhood, the only thing worse than being called a wetback was being called a brazier. Wetback just questioned your U.S. status, but who cared? Brazier, however, insulted your appearance. During the early 80s, if someone wore a blue guayabera and black shoes with white socks for school pictures, we called him a brazier. If we saw a girl walk down the street with blue jeans and shiny black pumps, we yelled, brazier. It wasn't until college that I learned the word came from bracero, a Mexican man who was contracted by the U.S. between 1942 and 1964 to do agricultural work with his brazos, his arms. My father did this type of work, so he was a brazier. I don't know if I felt more guilt or more shame for thinking that a brazier was the most humiliating thing a Mexican could be. The Bracero program was established during the Second World War to help solve the U.S. agricultural worker shortage. It allowed American farmers to hire Mexicans to harvest fields. Men from all parts of Mexico came to border towns, signed contracts, and waited for the chance to work. In 1956, more than 80,000 of them passed through the El Paso, Texas Center. Braceros stood in corrals until they were chosen for a physical exam. If they passed, they were awarded work permits for days or for months, depending on the contractor. Once the permit ended, the bracero was returned to Mexico. Since the men came from rural towns, many extreme in poverty, the guarantee of at least 30 cents per hour was a fortune. A bracero had to look strong, healthy. Disease or physical limitations excluded him immediately. To prove that they had farm experience, men would rub rocks between their hands to make them rough. Soft hands meant no opportunity. In some border towns, white men waited with plastic gloves for braceros as they clustered underneath the sun. They were told to strip. Then after each man was examined, they were sprayed with pesticide to kill bacteria, disease, and lice. One day during the Korean War, my father, Raimundo, left his farmhouse in Santa Rita, Coahuila, a tiny town of dust and desert. His father had sent word that there was work up north. Whatever discomforts my father felt during this time because of the sun or because of the work, I can't know because he won't say. "What's the best memory you have of being a bracero, Dad?" I ask. My father bursts out laughing to hide the nostalgia he's afraid will bring him to tears. I had a lot of girlfriends. I ask my dad over and over about illness, racism, abuse, or loneliness. My father shakes his head until I understand this life for him was pleasant. But I also understand that others were abused. The first wave of braceros unknowingly authorized pay deductions for their retirement when they signed contracts in English. Advocates today estimate that the total amount withheld, with interest, exceeds $150 million. Not surprisingly, the money can't be found. Most braceros don't expect it to be. But the money's not the only thing that's disappeared. Many people with a father who picked crops have forgotten how that work made our lives more comfortable. In the 1960s, my father stopped working with the land, found his way to Chicago, and became a mechanic. The scars from both jobs have never left his hands. At 65, his palms have never softened. At 29, I chanced my dreams with writing because my father chanced his upon a word, brazier.
Ray Salazar is a high school English teacher in Chicago.